Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5:30. Coming up in this bulletin, campaigners are hoping a rare disease drug could be rolled out within weeks after a major breakthrough in the approval process. The victim of Monday night stabbing in Belfast is improving and could be brought out of a coma within 48 hours. Jeffrey Donaldson says he's crystal clear an allegation of rape made against him did not happen. And Junior Sports Minister Charlie McConnellogue has faced questions today on the government stamped on the Republic of Ireland a football team participating in fixtures against Israel. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport at 6:15, and farming news and views with Chris Ashmore will be after the obituary notices. First up in news, campaigners are hoping a rare disease drug could be ruled out within weeks after a major breakthrough in the approval process. Two Donegal boys, Aaron Langan from Lahey and Jeremid O'Sullivan from Ballybuffet, both live with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and their families have been pushing for access to the orphan drug Javinostat. The treatment was approved for use in the European Union in June 2025, but had not been approved for reimbursement in Ireland after the National Centre of Pharma Economics said it was not cost effective. However, it's been recommended now for approval following a recent committee on drug use and will be referred to the HSE leadership team, with campaigners hoping it could be made available within 6 weeks. Deputy Piers Doherty says attention will now turn to the criteria that will determine access to the drug.
From our understanding and our engagements, we do not expect to see a challenge in relation to that, and that will hopefully then be approved and the reimbursement then available to families. It is a race against time, even at this stage, it is absolutely crucial that every day matters and that the authorities understand that. We do need a bit of clarification in relation to the criteria that will be used, whether it will be the European criteria or the criteria that's used in Britain, which is far better and will help some children who may be just right at the borderline of being able to benefit from this drug.
Now, you have met Aaron Langan and Jeremid O'Sullivan. Is it looking positive for them?
Aaron is a great wee guy, and there was a huge outpouring of support and love for Aaron, and as a symbol of all of the children when that event by Eleanor happened in Donegal Town. In Jeremid's case, it's probably one of the most heartbreaking when you look at the idea that Jeremid's brother is able to avail of this drug because he was on a trial in Britain and gets that drug and is able to lead a very different life, but for Jeremy it's not available as of yet, but we expect that it will be. I think the criteria is really important for the likes of Aaron and many other children, and that's why we just need that clarification now in terms of the criteria that will be used, and that's something that myself and my colleagues are directly engaging with not only the government but also the HSE in relation to.
The victim of Monday night stabbing in Belfast is improving and could be brought out of a coma within 48 hours. That's according to DUP leader Gavinson Robinson, who met the family of Stephen Ogilvie earlier. The attack triggered a second night of unrest, with some healthcare workers subjected to racist intimidation. Patricia McKeown from Unison outlines one of those incidents.
She was stopped and intimidated at a vigilante roadblock by four masked men. She took off, got to her hospital, told people. Despite the trauma, she still went to work and completed her shift.
Well, Bishop of Derry, Donal McKeown, has called for an end to the disruption in Northern Ireland. Last night, an Ardmore Road in Derry was closed due to items being set alight. Bishop McKeown says if immigrants left, the healthcare system would be under immense pressure.
What happened in Derry last night, I was talking to one of the priests over on the waterside last night and again this morning, but they were quickly cleared away and nothing serious happened. The traffic wasn't seriously affected. There were other ways around it. But it's bound to be frightening for people who are living in that area or not too far away from it, because Alton na Gaillimhe Hospital is right on the edge of that area. There'll be many people who come from many other countries who work in the hospital, who work very hard to keep it going, who will feel threatened and may choose to leave and leave gaps in the hospital staff.
Meanwhile, a local campaign group, United Against Racism, is calling on people in Derry to attend a rally this weekend in response to the recent violent disorder. The demonstration will take place in the Guildhall Square on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Organiser says it follows the number of recent incidents and rising tensions. The group says the event is aimed at showing solidarity with immigrant communities and encouraging unity across all sections of society. Jeffrey Donaldson says he's crystal clear an allegation of rape made against him did not happen. The 63-year-old former DUP leader has pleaded not guilty to 18 charges of historic sexual abuse against two alleged victims. His wife, Eleanor Donaldson, has pleaded not guilty to 5 charges of aiding and abetting and faces a trial of facts. Jamie O'Hara has this report, which listeners may find distressing.
Jeffrey Donaldson replied, "It just didn't happen. I am absolutely crystal clear about that. It is just simply not true," when asked about the rape allegation made against him by complainant B. Under cross-examination by prosecution barrister Rosemary Walsh, Mr. Donaldson repeatedly rejected all accusations made against him and said his wife could not have known about any alleged abuse because he said no abuse had occurred. He said both complainants are lying when asked by the prosecution. He also said his wife would never have agreed to or been party to anything of that nature in terms of the allegations made against him by complainant B. The trial continues tomorrow, when it's expected Mr. Donaldson will face further questioning.
Pressure is mounting on the government over Ireland's upcoming football fixtures against Israel, with Junior Sports Minister Charlie McConnellogue being questioned in the Dáil Chamber. The issues escalated this week following 2 Dáil motions calling for the Nations League game to be cancelled. Minister McConnellogue said the government can provide political leadership in response to what he's described as genocidal behaviour by the Israeli government, but stressed it cannot dictate how sporting organisations operate. The comments came in response to Deputy Sinn Féin Deputy Joanna Byrne.
They obviously very much recognise the difficult position the FAI is in here in relation to the draw and having to the 2 games to participate in. But they have to work within the UEFA structures. They did, after their AGM last November, bring a motion to UEFA seeking to have Israel excluded from international competition. They did not receive very little support from other footballing nations in relation to that. And they now have to work within the UEFA rules and have indicated and made the decision that they will be fulfilling the 2 fixtures. That is a matter for them to decide. The government fully respects that, and it's not appropriate for the government to interfere in relation to that. And I know we debated motions here over the last 2 days, the content of which would ultimately mean that Irish athletes would not be participating in international sports competitions in which Israel is also participating, which, for example, would ultimately mean that going towards the next LA Olympics, we would not be in a position to have any athletes participating in the Olympics. And again, that is a matter for sporting bodies to decide upon. We as a government will continue to give the very strong leadership internationally in a political sense, but it is up to each sporting federation to make their own calls, and the FAI have done so in relation to the 2 fixtures that they are programmed to play at the end of September and start of October.
Deputy Byrne claims that Minister McConnellogue is not grasping the scale of the situation.
But what's lost on me is the fact that you now have acknowledged there's a genocide and obviously understand what a genocide is. You still can't grasp the magnitude of what this means to the Irish footballing community. They don't want this match to proceed. They don't want to normalise sports washing. And Ireland playing Israel normalised a genocidal regime, and it gives cover. It gives cover for statute violations, for apartheid and for war crimes. And all you're doing in standing up and saying, "I won't attend these fixtures," you're shouldering that pressure and that burden on our footballers. Inevitably, if this goes on, our footballers are going to have to make a conscious choice individually or collectively as a team as to whether or not they should fulfil this fixture. And it's not fair. You had an opportunity this week to empower the FAI. You had an opportunity to support the FAI. So I don't buy all this backtapping for the FAI here. You had an opportunity to stand with the FAI. You had an opportunity to stand with Irish football. And you had an opportunity to stand with our Irish football team. And you chose not to. Shame on you, Minister.
Minister.
Following concerns raised earlier this week about a lack of taxis in Buncrana, similar issues have been raised in South Donegal. Councillor Micheál Nochtain has called the lack of access to transport a serious issue, particularly for hospitality industry. He's now called on the Economic Development Section of Donegal County Council to write to government to highlight the problem. On today's Greg Hughes Show, Councillor Nochtain explained the effect the problems are having.
At our MD meeting on Tuesday in Donegal Town, I took up this issue in relation to taxis and that, and I've called on the Economic Development Department of Donegal County Council to write to the Minister highlighting the issue that we have, because at the moment the market is not working, it's not delivering for the customers. And that Donegal is a rural county, and that, and you know, up here we don't have the same infrastructure in relation to buses maybe going every 10 minutes. We don't have the trains, we don't have darts, and it's affecting the nighttime economy for people, and that, and for somebody that's in the hospitality business and working late at nighttime and seeing it on the ground, that you have customers coming in using your premises, and that, and when it comes to the end of the night, I mean, you kind of throw them out because they kind of get taxis and that, and it's becoming a serious issue and that for the hospitality market, but also for rural towns and villages that mean are trying to survive, and that, and you know, the Competition and Consumer Authority, you know, they did a survey themselves and they discovered that, you know, in Connacht and Ulster it was a serious issue, that 4 in 5 people had an issue with this in getting a taxi. And, you know, what I'm calling here that basically is that, you know, we look at the regulations, we look at the way it's ran in other countries, because it's too difficult and the fees and everything to get involved. I'm calling on a system here.
5 Donegal community heritage projects are to share over €98,000 in funding aimed at supporting conservation, access and promotion to local heritage sites. The funding's been awarded under the Heritage Council grant scheme, which supports projects that protect and promote Ireland's cultural and natural heritage. Among the recipients is Clonlea Parish Church in Lifford, which received €25,000 for ongoing repairs to the Church of St. Lugadias, along with funding for projects in Inishowen, Inverglenties and Clydore. The Heritage Council says the scheme helps communities take direct action in preserving important local heritage sites. The time's 42 minutes past 5. Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport after these. It's 5:45 here at Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher's at the sports desk.
Thanks, Donna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Derry City have announced the appointment of Mark Connolly as the club's new director of football. Connolly, who left Derry as a player back in November, will start the role immediately as the club prepare for tomorrow night's visit of Bohemians in the League of Ireland Premier Division. In a statement, Connolly is described as having a wealth of experience, professionalism and a deep understanding of the game. Our Derry City correspondent Martin Holmes says it is potentially a great appointment.
Surprise, first of all. I wouldn't have thought of him as a candidate, given that he was still playing. He's 34 now, so he's sort of heading toward the twilight years. But I think he's a great appointment. He knows the league. More importantly, he knows the club. He's played for Derry. He's played in the league. He's had good experience playing in Scotland and England over many years. So I think all round it's a great appointment. Just reading some of the online comments on social media from supporters, a lot of them asking if he's bringing boots with him. So that would show you the immediate respect that he'll command and the delight amongst the supporters. So I think all round it's a brilliant appointment.
We'll hear more from Martin on the Score programme this evening between 7 and 8 o'clock. Also on the show, Gavin Cullen will preview the action on the pitch this week for Finn Harps and Derry City. We'll hear from Darren Nash, 20 years on from Fannet United's most famous and dramatic win in the Ulster Senior League. Plus, we'll be joined by the Donegal News' Ryan Ferry to go over a big weekend in the world of Gaelic games. That's all coming up on the Score programme after the 7 o'clock news this evening. Well, Mexico and South Africa have the honour of kicking off the 2026 FIFA World Cup this evening in a repeat of the 2010 opener. The two sides meet tonight at the Azteca Stadium. An opening ceremony will take place ahead of tonight's match, with Shakira and Burna Boy performing this year's World Cup anthem. The first game of the tournament gets underway at 8 o'clock. Wolverhampton Wanderers have sacked head coach Rob Edwards. He's only been in charge since November but couldn't stop the club dropping to the Championship. He oversaw 5 wins in his 30 matches. Portuguese manager Cesar Pacheco is widely rumoured to be taken over, and Wolves blogger Ryan Lester is stunned by the decision.
If this had happened after the last game of the season against Burnley, you'd have probably understood the decision. It's a great week for Wolverhampton Wanderers. Kieran Trippier, Raul Jimenez, and this is a complete shock. It doesn't seem to have come from anywhere.
Celtic have confirmed Martin O'Neill as their permanent manager. The 74-year-old has agreed to stay on with the Scottish champions on a one-year contract with the option of a second year. The former Ireland boss returned to the club last season for two interim spells in charge and won a league and cup double. Somali referee Omar Artin will take charge of Aston Villa's European Super Cup showdown with PSG after seeing his World Cup dream dashed. UEFA's chosen the 34-year-old to officiate in the game after he was refused entry to the US earlier this week. Closer to home, the Donegal Underage League booked their place in tomorrow's second-tier final at the Kennedy Cup thanks to a 3-1 victory over Wexford in their last four encounter this afternoon. Tierney Caterson found the net inside the first minute for Donegal, while Levi Kelly made it 2-0 before the break. Wexford pulled one back at the start of the second half, but Zach O'Carroll then added the third to put the game out of sight. Donegal will contest tomorrow's bowl final with the fixture yet to be confirmed. In Gaelic games, there are three games on tonight in the Donegal All-County League. In Division 1, Niamh Connell play Gidore, and in Division 2, it's Mallon up against Clonmacnoise and Buncrana against Ardrah. In golf, Shane Lowry, Padraig Harrington and Seamus Power are all in the field for day 1 of the Canadian Open in Toronto. Harrington and Power are both in the early stages of their rounds, while Lowry will get his campaign underway from 10 past 6. The World Cup of Darts begins tonight in Frankfurt. Ireland's team of Willie O'Connor and Mickey Mansell open their Group D campaign against Singapore. They're due on the hockey at 7:30. And finally for this evening, the Shane Bonner Memorial 5K Walk Run will take place tomorrow evening at the Finn Valley Centre. Proceeds will go to the Multiple Sclerosis Donegal Branch and MS Northwest Therapy Centre Sligo. Registration is at 6 p.m. tomorrow, with the walk run getting underway from 7:30. That's all your sport for today. We'll be back with more during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Looking now to the weather forecast. Cloudy, humid and breezy today with patchy rain and drizzle. Highest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees with moderate fresh to southwest winds, which will ease throughout the evening. To conclude this evening's news, a look at today's main headlines. Campaigners are hoping a rare disease drug could be ruled out within weeks after a major breakthrough in the approval process. Two Donegal boys, Aaron Langan from Lahey and Dermot O'Sullivan from Belle Buffet, both live with Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and their families have been pushing to access to the orphan drug Givinostat. It's now been recommended for approval following a recent committee on drugs use, and it will be referred to the HSE leadership team. The victim of Monday night's stabbing in Belfast is improving and could be brought out of a coma within 48 hours. That's according to DUP leader Gavin Robinson, who met the family of Stephen Ogilvie earlier. The attack triggered a second night of unrest in Belfast and Derry, with some healthcare workers subjected to racist intimidation. Pressure is mounting on the government over Ireland's upcoming football fixtures against Israel, with Junior Sports Minister Charlie McConnellogue being questioned in the Dáil Chamber. The issues escalated this week following two Dáil motions calling for the Nations League games to be cancelled. Minister McConnellogue said the government can provide political leadership in response to behaviour by the Israeli government, but stressed it can't dictate how sporting organisations operate. And following concerns raised earlier this week about the lack of taxis in Buncrana, similar issues have been raised in South Donegal. Councillor Micheál Nochtans called the lack of access to transport a serious issue, particularly for hospitality industry businesses. He's now called on the Economic Development Section of Donegal County Council to write to government to highlight the problem. That's all for now from the newsroom. Back again at 7 o'clock. Chris Ashmore has the latest farming news and views after the obituary notices. The obituary notices this Thursday afternoon, June 11th. The death has taken place in Plymouth of Sean McGonigal, Trusk Road, Ballybuffet. A funeral service will be held for Sean on Thursday, the 18th of June at 11:30 at Ford Park Cemetery Chapel, Ford Park Road, Plymouth. Interment of remains at Drumbo Cemetery at a later date. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Plymouth Hospital's charity, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Barney Peoples, Mahara Drummond, Milford, reposing at his home tomorrow and Saturday from 12 noon until 10 o'clock each day. Funeral mass on Sunday at 11 o'clock in St. Peter's Church, Milford. Burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Michael Quigley, 3 Barnhill Park, Letterkenny. Michael's remains will repose at his late residence today until 10 with rosary at 9. Funeral from there tomorrow at 10:30, going to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, Letterkenny, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, which can be viewed on the parish YouTube channel. Interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Alzheimer Society, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Dominic Dever, Lunya, Derrybeg. His remains will repose at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derrybeg, today from 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock, with rosary nightly at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass will take place tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Chacht Fubble, Columkill, Crickfalla. Burials afterwards in Mahragan Cemetery. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam via MCN Media. The death has taken place of Dennis Kelly, 29, Ballyduff Park, Lifford. Dennis will be reposing at his late residence, 29, Ballyduff Park, Lifford, today until 9 o'clock. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 11 a.m, going to St. Patrick's Church, Murlough, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. The Funeral Mass may be viewed online on the parish webcam. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice Care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Frankie McGarvey, 44, Ballycolman Road, Strabane, formerly of Castle Derg. Funeral from the family home tomorrow at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Melmount. Interment afterwards in Melmount Old Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 12 noon and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Stephen Porter, 478, the Curragh Killigordon. Funeral from the family home tomorrow at 12:30 for Requiem Mass at 1 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. and on the morning of the funeral. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Oncology Unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be looking at a number of Chagas events coming up shortly here in the county. But first, the Department of Agriculture is advising farmers of two important opportunities regarding corrections to their 2026 Basic Income Support for Sustainability and other area-based applications. The first of these are preliminary checks which will identify any overclaims, overlaps or dual claims. Notifications are issued where the department finds such an error on the farmer's 2026 BIS application. For 2026, approximately 4,600 herds will receive a preliminary check notification. Now, secondly, notifications relating to the Area Monitoring System, that's the AMS, are due to begin from the 24th of June. This will apply to a minority of farmers. The first round of AMS notifications is for the potential presence of artificial surfaces, for example, buildings, farmyard extensions and farm roadways in land parcels. Farmers or their advisors will have 14 days from the notification date to respond to the AMC notification. Chagas is organising a young stock event. It's taking place on Tuesday, that's the 16th of June, at 11:30 at Adair Moran's farm in Burnfoot. Well, Gavin Doherty is dairy advisor with Chagas, based here in Letterkenny. Gavin, tell us a little bit about what people can expect at this event.
On the day, look, we're having a young stock event. It's on the day Moran at 11:30, as you said previously there. Look, the focus on the day will be On the contract rearing agreement between Adair Moran, who is the contract rear, and Morris and Jamie Graham, which are farming just outside Rafo, for the last 5 years, Adair has been contract rearing Morris and Jamie's heifer, which means that at 10 days of age, Adair collects the 10-day-old heifer calves and rears them throughout the duration of their life. Basically, delivers them back to Morris and Jamie at the point of calving. So he holds on to them for approximately 2 years. The arrangement's been there for 5 years. Adair previously was a dairy farmer. And luckily, like a lot of other farmers, he decided that he wanted to try something different. And luckily, he's been in this field for the last number of years, which has been quite successful. Both the target audience we're looking at is basically anybody that any dairy farmer that's interested in contract rearing out their heifers. So anybody that wants to get insight into the agreement that is there, what is involved in terms of maybe what sort of payment rates can be received, and what each farmer is in charge of. So it is. So look, there's a number of different arrangements throughout the country, but on that day we're looking specifically at between the two farmers, the arrangement they have. As well as that, we're trying to target maybe any dry stock farmer, whether it be beef, sheep, or maybe possibly any dairy farmer or any farmer that would be interested in picking heifer calf, maybe basically give an insight into what is involved. And basically we'll be going around Adair's farm, looking at local and infrastructure that is on farm. Adair has a very good paddock system there that was previously there from dairying, which allows them to graze the calves very good. Look, just basically the facilities there, the housing facilities there, the facilities for rearing the young calves. As well as that, there are quite a few farmers now, maybe calves that are over 12 weeks of age or maybe older, are transitioning to grass. And look, there's been last number of years been quite a few issues around summer scour. So we'll have the local vet, Niall McSharry, present, who works with Northwest Vets, and he will be going through what he sees on the ground and maybe ways we can more prevention rather than cure, okay, and maybe also around other incidents maybe that happens to calves when they go to grass, maybe in terms of parasite control, preventing pneumonia, and maybe other clostral diseases. And finally, then we'll be looking at basically achieving the optimum width for the calf through its entire life, from when the calf arrives onto Adair's farm, basically through the milk phase stage up to 12 weeks, achieving the optimum width at weaning, which would be 100 or 100 plus kilos, during the calf eating the 1 kilo a meal, basically transitioning the calf in from milk onto maybe a grass-based diet, maybe the precautions that can be taken, and as well as that there, basically ensuring that the calf is thriving to full potential through its entire life until, basically calf down. So basically we're looking at maybe size quality, how Adair makes very good quality size on the farm, so how he mixed it, as well as that there, the housing facility there, ensuring that there's enough feed space on the farm. So what we're looking at there maybe is the accommodation part of things. And then finally then maybe the whole idea then is the second summer grass, during trying to get heifers into good condition. Look, the two lads work in partnership together at the breeding time. There is a thinking out station program there, so look, we'll be looking at what each farmer does in terms of what each farmer puts on puts and labour wise and all the rest, and basically just making sure that the calves calf down at the optimum width and that they have a successful life and milk. That's what we're looking at.
Do they need to register?
No registration. The only thing on the day that the event starts at 11:30. That's Tuesday coming, the 16th. 11:30 a.m. It's based on Adair Moran farm just outside of Burnfoot. There will be signposts there, so look, everybody's welcome. Dairy farmers, beef, sheep, anybody at all that has interest in rearing calves, and as well as that, they're more specifically maybe looking at the idea of contract rearing, maybe whether it be the dairy farm looking to let out heifers or an alternative farmer looking to take them in.
Meanwhile, Chagos and the Irish Equine Centre are promoting an equine pasture management workshop. It's taking place at Dean's Equestrian Centre in Brookless next Thursday from 6:30 to 9 o'clock. And Patrick Givens, Education Officer with Chagos in Letterkenny, has been telling me more.
Yeah, there's some great speakers coming on the night. I suppose the aim of the event is producing healthy, productive grazing that supports horse welfare and profitability and environmental sustainability on equine farms. So, look, there's a number of speakers on the night, Chris. There's our own local Tommy Doherty here. He will be speaking on soil health. Again, Chagas Equine Specialist, Wendy Conlon, Sean Keane, again, another equine specialist from Chagas. We also have Alan Creighton, who is with Irish Equine Lab. We have Sean Rorty, again, our local ASAP advisor, and he will be speaking to us about the sustainability or the environmental sustainability on the night as well. It's shaping up to be a good event. It's been organised by local equine advisor Carolyn Patterson. She's encouraging that everyone attending, encouraging to register on www.chagas.clorevents. But again, if anybody has any difficulty in registering, if they get in contact with us here in the Chagas office, we can help with that registration as well. There is an attendance fee of €20, but again, I think, I suppose, for people that's interested in the industry, it'll be well worth it to find out the information on the night, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely, and a focus on sustainable grazing for equine farming, soil health, pasture hygiene, biodiversity and efficient fertiliser use, and lots more. So that event taking place next Thursday.
Again, it's 6:30 to 9. Again, if anyone, I suppose, Googles it or goes on the Chagas Facebook, they'll find the details that's involved in that as well. Or even look at if anyone has any difficulty to call into the office here in Cairnamugga or in Stranorda, or give us a call and we can help with registration or with guiding people towards it and that as well.
In other news, applications are now open for the 2026 National Organic Awards. These awards are open to entries from the 6,100 organic farmers and food businesses across Ireland. There's a broad range of category awards. The closing date for entries is July the 17th. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.